Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, August 12th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. Okay, so last night I went to the opening night of When Shadows Fall, an interactive immersive theater piece here in Orlando, which I've spoken about on This Week on Broadway. So before I left the house, I prepped my script like I often do, getting ready for this episode, so that when I got home, I could just dive into writing and record and go to bed early. However, when I turned on the old internet to get started, there were like four new major stories that I just had to get in. So needless to say, as is often the case when I'm by myself, today's episode is jam-packed. But first, before we get into the news, I want to wish a hearty congratulations to the incredible Tony winner Laura Benanti, who announced yesterday that she and her husband Patrick are expecting a baby girl this winter. That is awesome news. I can't imagine a better person to teach a baby how to give side eye and hit a high C. Anyway, congratulations to Laura and Patrick. I'm sure you guys are going to be amazing parents. Okay, on to the news. Yesterday, we got two bits of ginormous news about upcoming benefit performances of beloved shows starring major Broadway stars. Let's take them chronologically from when they were announced. First, in the afternoon, we learned that Tony winner Kelly O'Hara and Tony nominee and current Something Rotten bard Will Chase will lead a benefit concert of the iconic Cole Porter musical Kiss Me, Kate for the Roundabout Theater Company on Monday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at Studio 54. The proceeds from the benefit concert reading support Roundabout Theater Company's many programs and initiatives, including the Musical Theater Fund, which has allowed Roundabout to produce acclaimed musicals, including The Pajama Game, which starred O'Hara, and The Mystery of Edwin Drood, which starred Chase. RTC's Associate Artistic Director Scott Ellis will direct, and more casting will be announced in the coming weeks and months. The 1% estate tax-paying tax bracket tickets are available now, ranging from $1,000 VIP tickets all the way up to $100,000 underwriter packages. General tickets go on sale to us plebeians on October 11th and will cost you anywhere from $150 to $500. Then, yesterday evening, one of the stories that popped up in my email while I was gone, we got word that Jason Robert Brown would be leading the orchestra for a one-night-only concert reading of his show The Last 5 Years, starring, get this, Joshua Henry and Cynthia freaking Erivo. Are you kidding me? That concert, a co-production between JRB and Subculture, will take place at Town Hall on September 12th, and 100% of the proceeds will benefit the Brady Center, the national organization determined to create a safer America by cutting gun deaths in half by 2025. Tickets for this event are just a smidge cheaper than those for Kiss Me, Kate. Beginning at just $50, tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. New York time on Wednesday, August 18th. We, of course, will have information for both of these shows and how you can get tickets in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. I don't really have a good segue, so in the immortal words of John Cleese, and now for something completely different. On Monday, Elton John and Tim Rice's musical Aida began performances at St. Louis's Muni Theater, starring the former child of Destiny Michelle Williams in the title role, Zach Resnick as Radames, Taylor Lautenman as Amneris, and the great Ken Page as Amonasro. Well, during the performance on the next night, Tuesday, August 9th, at the start of the second act, a group of protesters self-identifying as part of the Black Lives Matter movement halted the show to commemorate the second anniversary of the shooting death of Michael Brown in nearby Ferguson. The show was halted for 23 minutes, during much of which the protesters sang Ella's song, which includes the lyrics, "We who believe in freedom will not rest until it's won." The demonstration mirrored another at the St. Louis Symphony in 2014. During the disruption, Williams and Page came out to address the crowd, and Page asked for thoughts and prayers from the audience. We will have a link to Page's speech in the show notes, so check that out. Eventually, the protesters reportedly left on their own accord before the second act was able to resume. Rapper and a leader with Hands Up United, Tef Poe, was among about 40 activists involved in the event, and he told reporters, "The play Aida is layered with several racial undertones which mirror the problems we currently face. We mourn for the victims of all senseless acts of violence. This is not a matter of compassion. It is a matter of challenging systemic racism." Based on the Verdi opera of the same name, Aida is set in ancient Egypt, where after conquering and enslaving a group of Nubians, Radames, a soldier betrothed to the pharaoh's daughter, falls in love with Aida, the Nubian princess. And the original Broadway production and most major subsequent productions, including that at the Muni, the principal Egyptians are played by white actors and the principal Nubians are played by black actors. In the show, both Radames and Aida must struggle with whether or not their forbidden love is more important than the responsibilities they have to their people and to the good that they could accomplish if they resisted their passions. Aida runs at the Great Outdoor Muni Theater through August 14th. Going from St. Louis up I-55 to Chicago, the Goodman Theater announced yesterday that the world premiere of the new Doug Wright, Scott Frankel, and Michael Corey show War Paint had become the most successful musical in the company's history. Now extended through August 21st, the show stars a pair of two-time Tony winners, Patti LuPone and Christine Ebersole, as cosmetic magnates Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth Arden, respectively. The show is directed by Michael Greif, who also directed the creative team's previous collaboration, Grey Gardens. Ironically, or perhaps not so, both that show and War Paint are based on acclaimed documentaries. Despite mixed reviews from critics, it is practically a foregone conclusion that the show will make a fairly immediate Broadway transfer, perhaps even as early as spring of 2017. But it is important to remember that with Grey Gardens, this team took over a year to revise the show and make a major cast replacement or two between the off-Broadway run at Playwrights Horizon and the eventual Broadway bow. Okay, from speculation about an out-of-town show potentially coming to New York, we've got a whole slew of news about shows that have officially announced runs already on the books. First, yesterday Cirque du Soleil announced that they would be canceling performances of Paramore on August 22nd, 24th, 25th, and 31st to make, quote, creative changes. In the press release, the production said, "True to our roots as street performers, our shows evolve over time to reflect feedback from our consumers and our creative team." Despite less than lackluster reviews, especially from our own James Marino, the box office for the show has been pretty strong, averaging over $1 million per 8 shows. However, they haven't hit 7 figures since the 4th of July weekend, so with tourist season winding down and a new slate of shows prepping for Broadway openings, Cirque might be looking for ways to either keep butts in seats or to save a few bucks when the butts aren't there. Speaking of butts and seats, the latest Gerard Alessandrini parody musical Spamilton, an American parody, has extended due to popular demand. The show will now play through August 30th at the Triad. The show's official opening night isn't until September 8th, but it did have some pretty big stars in the audience on Wednesday night, as Lin-Manuel Miranda, Alex Lacamoire, and Thomas Kail paid the show a visit. Despite what I am sure is a healthy dose of good-natured ribbing at their expense, Lin-Man tweeted after the show that he, quote, "laughed my brains out." I guess that's a good thing, right? Although I don't think they ever had any scenes together, Lin-Manuel Miranda did have a memorable guest turn on the TV hospital procedural House, which co-starred Tony winner Robert Sean Leonard, who, according to announcement yesterday, will be playing King Arthur in the Westport Country Playhouse production of Lerner and Lowe's Camelot from October 4th through 30th. In addition to House, Leonard is most remembered on screen as Neil Perry in the 1989 film Dead Poets Society. On stage, he won a Tony for 2001's The Invention of Love and was also nominated for 1993's Candida and 2003's Long Day's Journey into Night. Leonard first appeared at the Westport Country Playhouse in 1986's Brighton Beach Memoirs, playing Eugene Jerome, a role he also played late in the original Broadway run. Next up, as part of their 17th season announcement, we learned that Nick Blamire will lead the Keane Company's production of Jonathan Larson's Tick, Tick, Boom. Directed by Jonathan Silverstein, the show will run from October 4th through November 19th at the Clermont Theater at Theater Row. The second show in the season marks the first time that the company has produced a work developed in Keane's Playwriters Lab, which is dedicated to fostering the work of mid-career playwrights. The show, When It's You, is by Courtney Barron and is a timely tale about gun violence in contemporary America. Tickets for both shows are available now at keencompany.org. Sticking at Theater Row, yesterday the producers of the off-Broadway production of The Marvelous Wonderettes announced that on August 24th, the fantastic Ryan Redman will join the cast as Susie Simpson, taking over for Diana DeGarmo, who plays her last performance this Sunday. Then, on September 21st, Christy Cates will take over the role of Missy Miller. Christina Bianco will play her final performance as Missy on August 17th, and Meg Lanzarone will play the role in between. Redman is best known for playing Bridget in Bring It On the Musical on Broadway and Taylor in the Vineyards off-Broadway production of Gigantic. She was also an original ensemble member of If Then. Cates is currently in Finding Neverland on Broadway and was Idina Menzel's original understudy in the Broadway production of Wicked before originating the role of Elphaba on tour and taking over for a year in Chicago. Finally, in this show news section, we'll go from Defying Gravity to Let It Go. Last night, Michael Riedel reported in the New York Post that Disney Theatrical is in talks to bring Billy Elliot director Stephen Daldry on board to replace the recently let go Alex Timbers. According to Riedel's sources, the change at the top came because the plans for Frozen were getting just too big for Timbers to handle. Riedel writes, "As plans for Frozen came together, sources say Timbers seemed overwhelmed by the immensity of the production. His past shows, such as Starcatcher and Here Lies Love, have been on a modest scale and budget. Daldry, on the other hand, has experience with big shows, including Billy Elliot, which at the time cost a sizable $15 million, as well as the Helen Mirren vehicle, The Audience." Riedel says that one of Daldry's friends told him, "Stephen can lead an army into battle. And given the amount of money and manpower that Disney is going to throw at this show, that might just be an apt analogy." Okay, from show news to concert news, last night marked the triumphant return of Barbara Streisand to Brooklyn as she played the first of two performances at the Barclays Center. The second will be tomorrow night, but let's be honest, you already knew that. If you couldn't get tickets to either of those Brooklyn shows, don't worry too much because Babs will be back performing in New York again on September 9th at Cipriani Wall Street, where she will headline an LGBT-focused campaign fundraiser for Hillary Clinton's presidential bid. Dinner ticket prices range from $1,200 to $250,000. Oh, Nelly! From one legend to another, and no, I am not speaking of my quite awful Keith Jackson impression. Yesterday, producers announced that Broadway legend Cheetah Rivera will headline Carnegie Hall for the first time in her career. How was that possible? On Monday, November 7th. The two-time Tony winner will be joined by Alan Cumming and Andy Carl, as well as some other leading men to be announced later. Must be nice to be Cheetah Rivera just to have your pick of leading men to come back you up one night. Cheetah Nowadays features signature songs, new selections, and special collaborations, as well as a very unique version of America from West Side Story, which Rivera first sang on Broadway in 1957. Wow. The final concert I wanted to mention runs twice tomorrow night and twice on Monday, and that is American Psycho Sings Duncan Sheik at 54 Below. Nearly a dozen cast members from the Gone Too Soon Broadway musical, including Alice Ripley, Jin Damiano, Theo Stockman, and Christina Alabado, will sing songs written by the show's composer, Duncan Sheik. The songs will not only come from his theater pieces like Spring Awakening, Whisper House, Alice by Heart, Noir, and Because of Winn-Dixie, but also from his pop catalog, including the hit Barely Breathing, which I may or may not have rocked out to more than once in Sherman, my maroon 1984 Volvo station wagon that I drove in high school. Finally, we'll close out today's show with a pair of theater-related TV stories, which is often my want when James isn't here to tell me to focus on actual theater stuff. The first is that Lifetime is adapting Shakespearean plays into a contemporary horror mystery anthology series called, oh boy, A Midsummer's Nightmare. Yeah. Each season of the new project will feature a different play, beginning with the Bard's classic A Midsummer Night's Dream. The first installment will center on two young lovers on a getaway in the woods who wind up in a struggle to survive as friends arrive to lure them home. Other than young lovers in the woods, I really see no connection to A Midsummer Night's Dream, but what are you going to do? Okay, this final story seems tailor-made for me. On the final day of the Television Critics Association panels in Los Angeles, Greg Berlanti, the executive producer of all four of the CW's primetime superhero shows, confirmed that The Flash and Supergirl, which is moving to the network from CBS this season, will have a two-part musical episode crossover event in the second half of this season. The Flash stars Grant Gustin, whom I saw play Baby John in the West Side Story National Tour a few years ago, as well as the immortal Jesse L. Martin, whom I also might have rocked out to in Sherman singing the reprise of I'll Cover You. and Carlos Valdez, who was a replacement in the Broadway company of Once and was a Frankie Valli understudy in Jersey Boys on the Road. Supergirl also has its share of singing stars, including former Glee star Melissa Benoist and Tony nominee Jeremy Jordan, who'll be popping back into Newsies for one night only later this month. Broadway fave Victor Garber also stars in Legends of Tomorrow, a spinoff of The Flash, a show which starred former Broadway leading player Sierra Renee during its first season, so who knows if either of them might show up as well. And also, let's not forget that Laura Benanti plays two recurring characters on Supergirl, even though one of them is technically dead right now. Although, as I mentioned earlier, she might not be up for any butt-kicking musical numbers for the next few months. Basically, between TV shows, comic books, musical theater, and the fact that Jeremy Jordan is an Ohio State Buckeye fan by marriage, this pretty much hits all of my fandom, so I think this is a perfect place to end a week on Today on Broadway. So thanks so much for listening. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to check out This Week on Broadway on Sunday, and I think James and I will talk to you on Monday.